Hi, and thank you for listening in to the New Song Podcast from this week's service. You are welcome and encouraged to join us at 10 a.m. on Sundays in person. And for more information on how to get involved with New Song, go to newsonglouisville.org and follow us on social media. And now for today's message.
Well, good morning. I think, you know, the Holy Spirit's definitely here because as Pastor Tracy was up here talking, I was like, I really don't even need to stand up there and say anymore because that was pretty much the meat and potatoes. But I'm glad to be here. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, just continue your work. Lord, that they would not be my words, but be yours. Lord, flow through me, as Pastor said, with the tithes and offerings. Lord, that we would be conduits, that you would make me a conduit now for your word, Lord, to touch the hearts of men and women that are here in the congregation and watching online. Lord, I pray that you would just have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name. So I don't want to focus too much on these words, because they're just words. But how do we go from worthless to worthy? Do these stir up some emotional response within us? Because they do me. I don't know if they do everybody, but I've definitely felt worthless at times, though I don't think that it was ever spoken over me directly where I heard from, you know, family member or somebody in authority over me, but it's something that I've had to struggle with off and on throughout my life. I was a young boy, and we'd have an appliance that would break in the house. It'd stop working, and yeah, I'd take it up to my room, and I'd get my tools out, and I'd tinker with it, and my mom would say, "Why are you even bothering with that? It's trash. It's garbage." She knew, and she was frustrated, because then what was left after I tore it apart was all these little bits and pieces on my desk, on the floor, and my dresser, and yeah, I found out real quick that they were, in fact, worthless, not useful anymore. But there was a worth to them. I learned, if nothing else, I learned how to tear things apart. Got pretty good at it, too. And over time, I got better at putting things back together, luckily. But you know, my worth, my value as a person was shaped by the things that I could do, my talents, my offerings, the things that will garner praise from others. Is anybody, you don't have to actually raise your hand, but so I'm sure that most of us can identify with that a little bit, right, at some point in our life. Well, the world has a way of letting us down, doesn't it? It made me feel pretty worthless at times. Because no matter what I did, it just wasn't enough. So how do we define human worth or self-worth? Quick Google search will pull this up. Reference the website if you actually want to look it up. But it says emotional stability, career success, relationship goals, and self-confidence. They may all play a part in somehow what defines your self-worth. Yeah. Sounds kind of hollow in the end, right? I looked up in the concordance of my Bible, and I looked for emotional stability, and you know what? It wasn't there. But there was one reference to stability in the King James Version. One reference. And it said, "Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." So this is a... Worthy has been a word that I've had for probably more than a year now. I believe that the Holy Spirit put it in me and been kind of mulling it over for a while, trying to figure out, all right, Lord, you want me to speak on worth and worthy, what makes us worthy? But I've felt unworthy most of my life in my humanness. So where do I get worth? Well, it says here, if I seek wisdom and knowledge in the fear of the Lord, I'll find stability. Sounds like a pretty good place to start, right? The Bible has many references for wisdom. It says that it's more precious than gold and silver, more precious than any stone that you can find, the rubies, diamonds. So that's pretty important. One example is Proverbs 16:16. The wisest man ever to live said, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver." Even still, gaining wisdom and knowledge, that alone, it doesn't really make us worthy, does it? There's scientists out there that are extremely smart. There's people out there that are very wise. But there's one other part there, the fear of the Lord. I don't even believe that that alone makes us worthy. Again, that's the building blocks. So what is it that sets us apart from creation? What is it that sets us believers apart from the worldly people, the people that haven't found Jesus, don't know Jesus yet? What makes us unique and adds value to us? Well, in Genesis, it talks about, Genesis 1, 26 and 27 in the King James Version again. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over the creeping things that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Genesis 2:7. "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." That's pretty unique, to be made in God's image, and then also to have him breathe life into us. That sets me apart from the dogs that I have and the chickens in the yard, right? But why did he do this? Again, in Genesis, it talks about how God walked with Adam in the cool of the day in the garden. God made us for a relationship. God made us in his image. Does that make us God-like? Yeah, sure does. And the older I get, I feel less God-like because I have more aches and pains, but that doesn't take away from the fact that I'm still made in his image. We all are. Even the unbelievers. We're all unique. We have value in God's eyes. So the way in which that he created us, he also gave us a fragile body, which he knew was going to draw us to him, draw us to things, especially after sin. We're all dependent on something in order to flourish. Unlike Adam in the garden, you know, we can't just go out and pluck a piece of fruit off of a tree and eat it, or go to the stream and drink the water and have everything right there at our fingertips that we need. No, we're heavily dependent on others, especially in the early stages of life. And then, you know, what happens when we finally find that place where we can provide for ourselves? For me, you know, at the age of 19, newly married, looking forward to my future with my wife and building a family together, coming from a small farm, a family. We lived on a dairy farm and milked about 60 head of cattle. And as I got older in my teenage years, we shifted from there, and I went to work for a construction guy that did general contracting and construction. So I learned how to provide, how to make things, how to make do. But it also instilled in me a false sense of security and money. And that's what I gravitated towards as Amanda and I made the decision to join the military. You see, I had felt this calling to missions. I had a relationship with God and with Jesus. Most of the time it was rocky, and oftentimes if I could look back and see Jesus trailing behind me, because that's where I felt him, he'd be there back there like this. Come on, son. Come on. Right? Anybody felt that before? So I turned from missions. I wasn't really focused on the wisdom and the knowledge that God was imparting. I didn't have a fear of the Lord in the sense that the healthy fear. I was fear of being condemned, of course, but yeah, so I turned away from missions, joined the military, put my trust in a man-made system, check signed by Uncle Sam. Doesn't get much more secure than that. Until they ask you to do things. Goes against your principles, your morals, your ethics. So again, that misplaced sense of trust, it detracted from my value because I was putting value in the things that I thought man wanted from me. The things that I wanted that man could provide instead of what God had for me, his goodness. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't asking for fear that he'd answer. Young, naive, unable to fully commit to something that I truly felt was a calling, and maybe even deeper than a feeling, right? Because I say sometimes that feelings are fickle. They are. They're a good indicator of where we're at and what we might need, but sometimes they get out of balance. And mine, most of my life, have been out of balance. And Tracy, you spoke on it this morning, just like being numb, not feeling the good or the bad. When I grew up like that, I was just a shell, right? I had no worth. I had no self-worth. I had no confidence. My self-esteem was down. Trying to find value in myself was almost impossible. But you know what? God is good. God is good. This is not a message of ho-hum, woe is me, right? Because there's victory. There's victory for all of us. I've got a recipe for this. One is, look at how awesome God is. He made us in his image and breathed his breath into our lungs to give us life, right? That alone sets us apart, should give us a sense of great value. But for me, I had to find out what his provision was, what his awesome power was in my life, and find out what the treasures that he was giving me were, and look back at the treasures that I already had that he had provided. I had to find my true self-worth, and not because of myself, but because of the God that lives in me. I had to learn what wisdom was and seek out what salvation meant to me and how my life should be different since I was adopted into God's family. When it came down to it, I had to think of myself as worthless without God. That gives me a sense of joy and happiness now, because when I think of it like that, it takes some of the pressure off. All I've got to do is be willing to do this. Or sometimes maybe do this. Just listen. Listen to the shepherd's voice. I had to begin to trust Jesus and the Holy Spirit and to find out what it means to fear God in a healthy manner, of course. And then to look at myself and see how he sees me and how he values me. That's how I found my true worth. You see, Satan, he has this goal. You and Tracy, you're stealing my thunder. But he came to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, he got us to doubt God. He got me to doubt God. He might only have to tell me one time, whisper that in my ear, and it was like poison that sunk down deep into the marrow of my bones. The rest of it was up to me. One way that he did this for me was he inflated my self-worth in the things that I did and the praise I got, just like the Google search. I wanted to achieve certain career goals. I wanted to have friends. I wanted to be important. But what I found is I was never satisfied. Those were empty, empty things to follow after. Left me feeling hollow and unworthy. So like I said, I'm going to show you a recipe for how we can gain worth, how we can look at ourselves different, maybe. Or maybe we can help speak into somebody else's life that's struggling with their worth and their value. Some of the greatest men in the Bible left us a roadmap. All we have to do is follow it. In Psalm 139, 13 through 14, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." And Luke 12, 4 through 7, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. After that, they have no more they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. You should fear him who, after he is killed, has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows." You ever find that odd how he says, fear God, and then don't fear? I think that's that division between that unhealthy condemnation and that awe-inspired fear of God, his creation, and how much he loves us. And going back to Proverbs 9, 10 through 12, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you're a mocker, you alone will suffer." So again, that building block is the fear of the Lord. Then we gain wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One and what he has for us, what we're going to do for him in his will. God values each of us as he did Adam. He wants to walk with us in the cool of the day. He wants to have that relationship, that personal one-on-one relationship with each one of us. He knew us when he was setting the foundations of the earth. Before we were in our mother's womb, he knew us. I mean, how crazy is it to think the number of hairs on your head are numbered, right? Who here can say that they love and cherish somebody enough to know that? Not me. I love them dearly. But to have that kind of knowledge is far beyond me. I can't wrap my head around it. So to tie this all together right now, to be known and still loved in this way is a gift that only the Lord can give us. To be truly known. Like Tracy said, it might be easy to see that I can be loved here, right? But to be over here in the mess, who wants to love me over here? Who has time and energy to spend on me here? Yeah, right. I don't even love myself here. I didn't. But in the trial, in the adversity, we find strength. It knocks the rough edges off of us. It polishes us. It makes us who God wants us to be, who he wants other people to see in us. And not because of we're so great, right? In our weakness, he's made strong. When we surrender, when we choose to take that step of faith, say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to step up here on a Sunday morning with Pastor Jeff in the house and be obedient. Years ago, I would have been like, nah, there ain't no way I'm going to ever do that. No way. But God. I love the title of the slide. It took me a minute to put it all together. It's like, what really makes us worthy? Well, the fear of the Lord, wisdom and knowledge. Again, that's the foundation. But really what makes us worthy is the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5 and 7. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Amen. That's how we need to look at ourselves. Covered in the blood of Jesus, we did nothing to deserve it. I'm a sinner. But God sent his son to cover my sins and adopt me into his family, just as he did for you. So with this picture of what Paul is talking about, God loves us where we are, who we are, and he gives us our value and our worth. This is what truly makes us worthy. It gives us emotional stability, career success, relationship goals, and self-confidence. Because with this at the foundation of who we are, now we can take into our workplace and our emotions, we can take back what Satan tried to steal. We don't have to worry about what the world sees and how they view us. We're not going to please everybody. We're not meant to please everybody. We're called to please God. Surrender. When we surrender to God, when I surrender to God, again, it took that weight off of me. It took that pressure to perform, that pressure to provide. I still struggle with it. Even last year as I retired from the military, I was struggling with it. That provision was gone. Yeah, granted, I had a retirement check, but was it going to be enough? What did God want me to do? And God in his grace gave me a great wife, very strong, patient, loving. She said, you're going to have to do something. Okay? All right. Didn't say what. She just said, you're going to have to do something. Yes, ma'am. So you know what I did? I cried out to the Lord. He woke me up at 4 or 4:30 in the morning one morning. It's like, do you trust me? Well, honestly, no. You know my heart. I do in most areas, but specifically this one here, no. I can't give you full trust because I didn't want to give over control. I didn't want to give up what I thought I could do. Yeah. I said, all right, come on. So we went out to our little bar there in the kitchen. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, Lord, what do I do? He's like, I just want you to move. Okay. You're going to have to guide me because I have no idea what direction to go. Speaking of a job to bring some provision into our home and also give me a sense of purpose. Because see, for 20 plus years, I had a sense of purpose that was dictated to me. I enjoyed it, yeah. Military was good to us overall. I have very few complaints. I'm a servant. I got to serve there. But now without that, I had to make up my own way. Well, luckily I turned to God to help me out because, again, I was lost. So God helped to direct me and give me purpose, but that's not the story here that I'm trying to get at. It's what gave me that sense of worthiness. It was that surrender. When God said, move, and I stepped out of my comfort zone. Told Amanda I was going to start a landscaping business. She's like, oh yeah, really? And I posted my business card on Facebook. She's like, wait a minute, you're already going? I said, well, God tells me to move, I got to move. Yeah. Did something that's very uncharacteristic of me, very uncomfortable for me. I went door to door and was knocking in one of the neighborhoods here in town. Didn't even have business cards at that time. I was tearing little corners of paper off, writing my name and number on it. Hey, I'm a landscaper, if you can believe that. Just trying to be obedient. Not to find worth in what I was doing, but trying to be obedient to what God had for me. You know what he said? I'm going to bring people into your life through this. It's going to be a ministry and a business. So if you're going to be a servant to the people of this community, you're going to take something that's wrecked and ugly or maybe just disheveled a little bit from the seasons and the ravages of the weather, and you're going to turn it into something that they can look at and be like, that's really beautiful. And that's what I did. That's what I did. That's what I'm still doing. I'm trying to surrender myself, my pride, my selfishness, my sense of what I can do, and give that to God. So all these things, the emotional stability, career success, relationship goals, they're all good, right? Like good things to focus on and find balance in. But that's not what gives us our worth. So when we turn to Jesus and we surrender, we lay down our life at the altar, we seek him because he was worthy. That's where we get that worth for ourselves. And you know what? All you have to do is say, Lord, here I am, broken. Thank you for dying on that cross and being raised from the dead for me, personally, for me. So if that doesn't excite you, give you a sense of value in God's creation, he set us apart. He chose you. He adopted you into his family. If you don't find that exciting, promising, and please, I urge you right now, surrender to him. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal in you the strongholds that are keeping you from finding what makes you worthy. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. You can't work your way into heaven. All you have to do is receive it as a gift. And what a precious gift it is. So I want to ask right now, this might be a little off script, but I want to ask you right now, if you're struggling with feelings of worthiness or worthlessness, feeling of lack of value, or maybe you just have something that's hard that you're dealing with, something in your life that you want prayer for. If that's you, and you want to come forward, receive some prayer, I'll open it up and let you have that time. We'll ask some trusted people to come up and pray for you, pray with you, partner with you. Again, it's about relationship. It's about walking out this life together with brothers and sisters around us, that when we need that, find ourselves doing this, they can come alongside us and prop us up, get us to the doctor, get that bone set. We're all broken, trying to make it in this world, but God. So I want to pray. I want to close in prayer. Lord God, go with us. Thank you for your word today, speaking through me. Lord, I pray that it's for somebody here. Again, those listening online, Lord, they're with us. May we take it and meditate on it this week. And God, reveal to us our true worth and what it means to be accepted into your holy family. Thank you, Jesus, for this gift of freedom that you've given to us, this gift of life. Now, Holy Spirit, lead us now into all things. In Jesus' name, amen.